Joining me on the live line is Richard C. Bell. He's an election law expert and an attorney. And so with that, Attorney Bell, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
Oh, I'm very well, Perry. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, it is my pleasure. And I am really interested about what is going on. What is the worst case scenario we will see, seeing that we are, most of us are voting by mail, I believe, for this upcoming election on November 3rd. What's the worst scenario you can see, that you would see around the corner?
Sure. Well, first of all, it's starting now, because you have a president that is trying to inject a crisis of confidence in the integrity of the whole system that doesn't exist, because the voter fraud stuff is complete nonsense. Every study shows it's a complete myth. But he is trying to set the stage for this crisis of confidence, whether he loses the election or right now starting to spread these rumors about the integrity of the system to discourage voters. So I think the biggest problem is that people get discouraged. Can't do that. Because the number one, two, and three things that everyone in your audience has to do early when it comes to voting.
Mm-hmm.
It is everything right now, because whether you're going to do it by mail, whether you're going to do it by early voting in person, you've got to do it early, because number one, if there's a problem, you can fix it.
So,
and number two, avoid crowds.
Okay.
I was going to say you avoid crowds.
All right. Are there any states that don't have early voting?
Oh, yes. We live in a country that early voting is not allowed. I think it's now 17 states.
17 states. And
yes,
most of these are what we would call red states, right?
I would say so, yes.
Okay. Now this is really disturbing, because, you know, especially what's going on in the South. I mean, with COVID, the misinformation, and that's what this administration has done since they stepped in the White House. The misinformation that comes out of this administration, and the people that believe it, is what just drives me crazy.
Oh, and it's infuriating.
Do they really believe this president like that, in your opinion?
Okay. So, number one, let me correct myself. It was 11 states, not 17.
Okay.
I just always like to be accurate.
Okay.
But, yes, what's infuriating is I just wrote a book called Voting, the Ultimate Act of Resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say, why, if it wasn't the ultimate act of resistance, why would one party be so intent on limiting it? Because that is the history of the Republican Party in the modern era. So you and me and most normal people say, what do you mean? Voting should be easy. Of course it should be easy.
Right.
I mean, online shopping is easy. Why shouldn't voting be easy?
Right, right.
But there's been this game plan for a long time, because Republicans know that in many instances they can't win if it's a level playing field.
Right.
So what I've been doing on Election Day for many years is fighting voter suppression, and I do it at the polls and in the courtroom. And what happens is you see these efforts, sometimes it's the poll workers, sometimes it's in the court cases, the Republican lawyers, they're always trying to create barriers. You know, whether it's something technical about a voter registration that's being questioned. When I was doing this in Florida,
mm-hmm.
it was a poll worker that kept sending people out saying, no, you're in the wrong address. You can't sign an affidavit of change of address, which is completely against the law, but went on dozens and dozens and dozens of times in 2016 where I was at the poll in Florida.
Uh-huh.
And you don't have to guess. It was all black and brown people he sent back out, and I have sent back in.
So what did you do? I mean, because some, you know, I can't even remember what they call it here. I'm kind of having a blank right now. But we can all, provisionals. We can always, here in Illinois, there's such thing as provisional ballots. those are not even in all 50 states and some of the territories, are they?
Well, actually, provisional ballots are. The problem is the percentages of those that are thrown out really vary by the state. And as you can imagine, it's a good percentage that stay in California and a low percentage that stay in a place like Texas. Because what happens is the provisional ballots, which you fill out by hand when you're at the polling place, they check it against certain, you know, whether it's signature matches or absentee ballots. And many times they just throw it out and they don't tell you.
Well, that's
so
subjective.
You send it out.
But that's subjective.
Yeah. Well, that is why, Perry, you're completely right. And one of the things, and I think we all need to say it out loud right now, is that voter suppression in this new Jim Crow era of the last 30 years, where they've been obviously targeting black and brown people, and the media's kind of given that lip service over the years, but I noticed that when the post office gets manipulated, and Jim Crow is, in a sense, being brought to white people, it's become a national crisis overnight. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I talked about it weeks before, you know, like they say, the sugar hit the fan. I was talking about it weeks ago because I did know that this is what they're doing. And, I mean, to trot out this guy, DeJoy, like he is some normal, conscientious American, it's the craziest thing in the world to me. Go and hire you, Richard, hire Attorney Bell and others to sue the hell out of these folks for doing this.
Well, there are state suits going on against the post office right now. They were filed on Friday in six different states.
Right.
Because this is beyond outrageous. Obviously, we have a House of Representatives that passed the bill, but coming in through the Senate, though, we don't have any confidence in that. But you know what I think most of all, there's really three levels here. We understand what Congress can and cannot do, and they're trying, but with the Senate, we're not confident.
Right.
The states, which is who controls the election apparatus, you know, a number of them have gone to the automatic mailing of ballots, or like in Illinois, the automatic mailing of applications for ballots, and changing other states that the postmark is the date that you have to have. It has to be election day postmark, mm-hmm. and things of that nature. But what I'd like to emphasize to your audience is the obligation of the voter, because we all know that we need now to go from rage to engage. We've got to vote. We just got to vote. Our lives all depend on it. There's no question. So I think everyone needs to have a plan on voting. And the best way to have a plan is you go to this nonpartisan website called vote.org.
Right.
And you go to Illinois, and it will tell you what all the rules are, and will tell you exactly what you have to do, and it can tell you where you can drop off. If you don't want to go through the post office, you can go to those drop boxes in Illinois. They're going to be at the early voting sites in Illinois.
Uh-huh.
But you got to start early, right. early.
Well, I would do that, but I was going to do that anyway because I didn't want to go pushing any buttons on machines that other people had been at.
Gotcha. We're in a pandemic. Yes,
yes,
for sure.
I mean, you're in the middle of a pandemic. And listen, I think last year or something might have been the first time I did the early voting, and I love it. I absolutely recommend it to everyone. 9:48 on Talk of Chicago. We're talking to Richard C. Bell. And you're somewhat of an aberration, Attorney Bell, because I do not know a lot of, well, I don't know any African Americans in this Irish led city when it comes to election law. I don't know any African Americans that do this work.
Well, Perry, I like to think I have an African American soul, but I am a white guy.
Okay.
I like to think you adopt me.
All right, well, that's good enough for me. Have an African American soul. It's got Attorney Richard C. Bell on the line with us, and he's kind of made this his life's work to fight voter suppression in this country. And again, tell us more about your book. Counselor, tell us a little bit more about your book.
Yes, thank you. It's Voting, the Ultimate Act of Resistance on Amazon. And really what it's about is my battle against voter suppression at the polls and in the courtroom for decades. And I talk about how the police came for me in Philadelphia, a judge came at me in New Jersey, and everyone came after me in Florida. Because when you fight voter suppression, you are fighting a hand-to-hand combat battle.
All right. I can't imagine what that's like. I can't imagine. I'm a black woman, and I deal with that every day.
Every day.
So when you're doing this, what are the little nuances? When do you get the idea and understand that it is intentional, whatever it is that's being done?
Okay, so here's how we look at it as a lawyer. We call it disparate impact. Whether or not we can prove it's intentionally racist, we can certainly say that it adversely impacts black and brown people. So under the law, that's discrimination anyway. So we don't need to go to the next level. We think we know when it's intentional, but we don't have to prove that. But for me, I saw the first time I went out there to do this, it was clear as day that it was all black and brown people that were getting denied the right to vote, and I had to fight to restore it on the spot on election day, whether it was outside the polls by sending them back in with information or inside the courtroom arguing cases. Mm-hmm. It was just so apparent to me. I mean, if hundreds and hundreds of people, if it was one or two white people, it was a lot. It was unbelievable, but not unbelievable for people who've experienced it, obviously.
So, you know, I look at this from a different perspective, too, because if they are this intentional as a police officer, as a judge, as a lawyer, imagine what they're doing to the black and brown people that come in front of them.
Oh, you could not be more right. This is just the tip of the iceberg. Like you say, this is just that one day, election day, what goes on in the system every day.
Every day.
Every day is the reason why we need everybody to vote, because we've got to turn our anger into action. We've got to turn our ideas into laws. It's our best chance. Yes, it's long term, but we got to start somewhere.
How are we going to get these young people and this generation to the polls? I mean, they were out in full force last night in Kenosha, Wisconsin, after that shooting of this, Jacob Blake. That's who we need to get out. I mean, the people in the senior buildings, they're going to vote. How do we get to those people that have that rage and are willing to, you know, to do anything with the exception of voting? I came across an article this morning. And in the article, it was in 2016 when he had won the election, when Donald Trump had won the election, and he was meeting with black civil rights leaders. And he had the nerve to say, the voters, black voters not coming out, voter apathy in the black community. He really praised it. That's what they're betting on. So what do we do, counselor, to get that generation out there to the polls?
Okay, Perry, what I think is we obviously have a lot of anger on the streets. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of people exercising it out there. I think the young leaders in these marches and these protests should be setting up registration booths and passing out registration forms to everybody and telling everybody, we don't like who's there now. Get them out. Get someone else in. We don't like them. Get them out. Get someone else in, because that is the only way it's going to change. Because, you know, protests and marches are step one, and they raise the consciousness, and they have to be done, and they're terrific. But if we don't vote and we don't change the laws and get action done, we've got nothing. So I think the leaders, the young leaders themselves of these marches and protests, have to implore their peers, because you and I, they may not listen to, but their own age group, they may listen to and say, hey, we got to do something here, and voting is it right now.
All right. Vote like democracy depended on it. Let's go to
because Kate. It does.
Right. Vote like democracy depends on it. I was telling our listeners last week, I said they're sitting up there trying to get the last authoritarian leader in Europe out of office, and he refuses to go. Let's go to Karen. Karen, thanks for your call. Go right ahead.
Well, good morning. I just have to say this. We need to quit pushing voting. We need to push get involved with policy, because it doesn't matter who's in office if we're not involved. It's just like when people go to church and call themselves getting saved. Oh, you saved. No, it's not. You need to go read. You need to change your life. And that's what's happened. It's just like walking up to the altar saying, oh, I throw myself to the altar and I'm going to be saved. It's more to this. So what I've been hearing.
So what is more? So what is the more, Karen? What, I mean,
we need to get involved with policy. We need to understand how America works. America is a business. It doesn't really matter who's in office if you're not involved in business. America is a business. And our people, black people, we've never been a part of it. So instead of telling us to go vote, and do what? The young people today are saying, what the heck are we voting for? We won the right to vote, and we've lost rights to everything else. So what is this big push about voting? No, get involved, understand how America works, understand business, and let's start becoming intelligent. That's when we wake up.
All right. Thank you. I disagree with you, because I can't imagine not being able to vote. See, there are some countries, like I remember when they had the first presidential vote in South Africa. Those people walked for 8 hours, stood in line for 8 hours. I think that's our first line of defense, is voting. And I'll let you have the last word on that real quick, attorney.
Yes, I would say to Karen, yes, we want to change policy, of course, but you've got to do it from the inside. And if you don't vote and you don't get people in there that you're going to have your ear, then it's not going anywhere.
All right, then. Well, tell our listeners again, what's the name of the book?
The name of the book is Voting, the Ultimate Act of Resistance. It's on Amazon.
All right. I look forward to talking to you again between now and November 3rd. Keep up the good work and the good fight.
Thank you. Always here for you, Perry. Thank you.